B-Pod Studios.
Gargano and Mertitus Middays. It's time now for the Gargano and Mertitus Midday Show with Anthony Gargano and Jason Mertitus. It starts now.
It's ridiculous.
Oh, my.
It is the Midday Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. Andrew in for Anthony, still vacationing in Florida. Jason Mertitus with you. Today's what, Wednesday? I'm a little disjointed. Today is Wednesday.
Wednesday the 14th,
inching closer to preseason game number two. We'll talk to Derek Gunn today, who has been embedded down in Jacksonville in advance of this game, and had an exclusive interview with Nick Foles. So we'll talk to D. Gunn about that. Tonight, Cole Hamels will be pitching at Citizens Bank Park. The return of Cole. And it's weird because between today and tomorrow, the last two championships in Philadelphia sports, the MVP will be in opposition of the Philadelphia team. Cole Hamels for the Cubs. And then, boom, Nick Foles tomorrow. We'll see if he plays. Doesn't look like he will, but still the point is made. The last two MVPs of the last two championships, 08 with the Phillies and Cole Hamels, and then, of course, Super Bowl 52 with Nick Foles in the next 2 days here in Philadelphia. But, Andrew, yesterday the big news broke. I guess you guys were on the air when it happened?
Yeah, it happened right after the Doug Peterson press conference. We were getting ready for Carson Wentz. You know the deal. You do the BSing until the next guy comes up. And then all of a sudden I look over at the bro, and he's just wide-eyed. And I'm like, what? Like, don't hide anything. What are you looking at?
Yeah.
And then he saw the Zalecki tweet.
Yeah. And they fire the hitting coach, John Maley, and they bring back Charles Manuel. And Charlie back in the mix. And, you know, there's things coming up about when Gabe was an analyst for Fox, and there's all this stuff going on. And Charlie is a guy that's, you would think, kind of the polar opposite of Maley, right? Is that how you say his name, Maley?
John Maley.
Maley, yeah. I want to make sure it's right because, you know, a guy deserves some dignity with his own last name. Says me, who's been butchered.
Yeah, exactly.
But that being said, to me, I read this thing, and I heard Jason Stark yesterday on with Mike, and this is just screams owner, owner, owner. I know Matt Klentak, and they tried to say this was a collaborative decision. You don't buy that, do you?
No, I was laughing the entire time during that press conference.
Yeah, that's a joke.
Because he tried telling you that that Charlie Manuel and John Maley have similar philosophies. They don't.
Not even close.
They don't have similar philosophies. It wasn't a joint decision. It screamed, like you said, the owner calling Matt and saying, you know what made it collaborative? Hey, Matt, you make the call. He's fired. You're the one that makes the phone call. That's how it's collaborative.
Yeah. My read on the situation, it's real simple. Like, the way I look at it, I go, all right, this is a really dynamic situation because there's what, 6-7 weeks left in the season?
43 games.
Yeah, 43 games left. Charlie comes in, and here's the positives. If they show any improvement, Charlie gets all the blame, all the credit in the world. Gabe gets nothing. If they don't improve, Charlie doesn't get any blame because there's only 43 games left in the season. How can you change mentally a philosophy that you've preached for multiple seasons here of launch angles and analytic approach at the plate and expect that in season when you're in a wild card race to change that habitual nature of it?
Well, I don't think that's the point. Like, so yesterday I was saying I don't want to be the wet blanket. I don't think they're all of a sudden going to score 10 runs a game just because Charlie Manuel's here. But the point of it is
the symbolism of it.
Yes, that means change has happened, and it threatens Matt Klentak. It threatens Andy McPhail. It threatens Chris Young, the pitching coach, because you and I agree. We both believe it's from John Middleton.
Yep.
We both believe the owner is the one who made this call. So that means it came from the very top, and because it's coming from the very top, everybody beneath him is now shaking a little bit, and to me, that's a good sign.
Yeah, and a lot of people, and I brought it up, I know Anthony has, and a lot of people have, that they've been kind of wondering where John Middleton stood on this season and how it was going and how it was playing out. And you hear guys like his top lieutenant, Andy McPhail, say, well, if we make it, we make it. We don't, we don't. You know, those kind of things. It's like, so matter of fact, you know. Oh, if we make it, and if we don't, no big deal. You know, we'll be fine. You know, you wake up tomorrow morning, the sun will still come up.
Right.
But we were wondering where John Middleton, who had to be the closer, essentially, and fly out to Vegas and close Bryce Harper and was a big driving force in the increase in the payroll and everything that goes on with the Phillies and, you know, guys that are multi-millionaires, very wealthy men. You can buy a lot in your life, but winning is not one of those things you can just buy. So they want to put people in a position to win. And when they don't, then they get held accountable. So this is part of that. This is part of holding this group accountable. But so Jason Stark yesterday was on with Mike, and he talked about John Middleton, his involvement, and where his head was through this process.
Matt Klintak said over and over it was collaborative. And of course everyone was involved, of course. But my intuition says this started with John Middleton. From what I have heard, frustrated would be too mild a word to describe his feelings about the way this offense has performed, or really underperformed. But I'm going to guess he was more than just a collaborative part of this decision.
So John Middleton, I think we can probably agree, most of us, that he's the driving force beyond this.
Yes.
Okay, so what does it mean? So the fact that they bring Charlie back, what does it mean? Does this mean now that Gabe Kapler's tenure is kind of on shaky ground? The same for Matt Klintak or Andy McPhail? Do you go that far to read that to do this on August 13th it's a Hail Mary desperation move.
Yes.
Trying to save a season. But what does it mean?
I think it's John Middleton saying nobody's safe. And I want winning. I paid Bryce Harper $330 million. I overpaid Andrew McCutchen at the time, even though he was performing very well before getting injured. We all agreed that he was overpaid for his veteran presence. You traded your top prospect that a lot of people were excited for JT Realmuto, who you were also going to have to pay a lot of money at the end of the season.
Yeah.
So John Middleton saying, listen, I'm investing my own personal money on this team, so nobody is safe if we continue to have another collapse, a second year of a collapse. So I think he's sending a message. I know Matt Klintak spoke about messages being sent and how it wasn't a message being sent that nobody's safe. That was a message sent from John
Middleton.
Yeah, that's
him downplaying the situation because he doesn't want to believe that he's
okay. Yeah, of course.
So, look, the frustration of this season has been very apparent. This team's inability to hit and certain, just the offense in general, it's just not good enough. It hasn't been good enough. It hasn't been consistent enough. So they lop off John Mealy. Okay, I get it. You gave the fans a body. But do the fans all of a sudden now feel like this season can be saved? Because, again, baseball is one of the things. It's 162 games. It's a marathon. And there's muscle memory. It's the way you approach at the plate. And for them to even suggest that Charlie's approach was similar to Mealy's is laughable. I mean, that's like, you know, pointing your finger into your forehead and then between your eyes and calling you an idiot.
Yeah, I was laughing.
If you want to believe that.
I was laughing at that yesterday. And Rob Motti, our own Rob Motti, asked a question. We'll play the audio later on. But Rob basically asked, this was after Klintak said that Charlie and John Mealy have similar philosophies. Mm-hmm. Rob then asked Gabe, saying, hey, I spoke to Charlie last week, and he says he doesn't like your guys' approach to the plate. Mm-hmm. And then Gabe's like, oh, I haven't spoken to him yet.
What do you mean he hasn't spoken? I thought this was a collaborative thing. They should have been speaking throughout the process.
Exactly. They should have been speaking before all this happened. But that tells me right there, and listen, we know that Anthony's a good friend of Charlie.
Mm-hmm.
We know how Charlie feels about certain things when it comes to the offense because they do have different philosophies. They do not have similar philosophies. Launch angles is not Charlie Manuel.
No. He's a guy that's about hitting and the fundamentals of hitting, and it's not about launch angles. And yeah, they're two different generations, maybe a couple generations in between Charlie and Gabe, and especially the way they manage a baseball team and their philosophies. If they want us to believe that their philosophies aren't that much different, then if you want to believe that, then you're the fool.
Yeah, you shouldn't believe it. But I do have a belief that this brought a sense of hope to the fan base.
Okay, now that's interesting because anytime stuff like this happens in a season, it shows one thing, that it's a bit of a mess right now.
Yes.
It shows that there's a lot, that there's a team not meeting expectations. The owner is now dictating things, which I don't know that the owner dictating things is ever good. I just don't. But when you have the triad in place of McPhail, Klintak, and Gabe, and it's not working, and it's not changing, and the message is, if we win, we win. If we don't, we don't. If we get in, we get in. You know, that whole thing with McPhail, and then Gabe, and everything that's been going on. When it happens in season, it's never good.
Right.
Like, this isn't good.
But
we shouldn't celebrate this.
I think people should.
They should celebrate it?
I think this is different. Because before the move happened yesterday, I asked Jamie a question because yesterday, before they won, they were two games above 500, and they were also two games out of the wild card. And I said, which team is this? Is it the team that's just two games above 500, or are they a team that's two games behind the wild card? And me saying that means, are they a mediocre team that's about to go beneath 500, or are they still in the race?
Yeah.
Even though they're the same team, the fact that they were just two games out of the wild card means that they are a team that is in a playoff hunt. And I think a lot of people are saying...
That is the fact of the matter.
Yes. I think a lot of people are saying, nah, you know what? They're more of a mediocre team. They're more of the two games above 500 team, borderline below 500. When that move happened, all of a sudden people said, you know what? How is this going to hurt the team?
No,
if anything, it's going to bring new life.
Yeah, I don't think that it hurts the team. I really don't. I think the fact that it had to be done is the problem. But that being said, and this... When we return, I'm going to make the... I don't think Gabe should be fired. I don't. And I'll tell you exactly why.
Okay.
610-632-0975. That's the number to get in. 610-632-0975. We're going to talk about this because this is very... When stuff like this goes down in season, boy, the trickle-down effect of what it means that the owner is involved to force a decision like this and to force a move like that. Whew, man.
Hey, how did they respond yesterday with a win?
Ah, stop it.
And also, also 14 strikeouts to the starting pitcher.
It is the Midday Show. That's Andrew Salchunas. He's in for Anthony. Jason Martinez with you on 97.5 The Fanatic. And I got to tell you about Window Nation, because the intense summer heat, it's been back all summer long, causing your old leaky windows to produce unnecessary high energy bills. It lets your air conditioning right out the window. It doesn't seal correctly. It also allows damaging UV rays to fade your valuables and make your windows even less effective. Well, listen up. While the kids maybe have another week at camp or so, families may be taking vacation, well, my trusted friends at Window Nation, the ones with more than 80,000 satisfied customers, including me, and the A-plus Better Business Bureau rating, well, they have extra capacity right now, and they have to keep the factory busy and the installers working. So how about this? One free window for every window you buy. No minimum or maximum purchase required. Now, that's on all styles of windows, plus no down payment, no payment of any kind, and no interest for a full 24 months, 2 years. So buy now, start saving now, and literally pay nothing for 2 years. Trust the window company I trust and visit windownation.com, or you can always give them a call at 866-90-NATION. You get your one free window for every window you buy, plus no down payment, no payments of any kind, and no interest for 24 months. Again, visit windownation.com or give them a call at 866-90-NATION and tell them Jason sent you.
Gargano and Martinez Middays.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic. 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, you're looking good, man. What's our problem?
The Midday Show Hour brought to you by Window Nation. Take advantage of Window Nation's 50% off sale on all styles of windows. Plus, make no down payment with no payments and no interest for 12 full months. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com. Yeah, it is the Midday Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. Anthony off the rest of the week. Andrew in today. And we're discussing the rise of Charlie Manuel once again. All right, Andrew. So before the break, I said that I didn't think Gabe should be fired, and I was going to tell you why.
And before you tell us why, there was a tweet from Dave saying, Jason, your explanation as to why Gabe shouldn't be fired better be good.
All right, no, you think he should be.
I have to, I'm letting...
The guy said that. He said, Andrew and I agree. Get out, get out.
I'm letting the year play out. I have been open that if it continues to go like the way it has been the last since June... Mm-hmm. I would move on from Gabe, yes. But
okay.
I've been pretty fair with giving him the rest of the season, and I've been pretty fair about the bullpen being injured and the starting pitching being neglected. So yep. I've been pretty fair about that stuff, but I think I've seen him make a ton of boneheaded decisions. I think he's still learning on the job, which I don't like with the fact that you have five All-Stars that came in this year and a manager who's still learning on the job.
Okay, but you heard the press conference yesterday, and you heard Matt Klentak. Did he inspire you and kind of go, well, man, this is a general manager who's really set the table for my manager to have success?
No, he looked scared.
He did. He
if you
meek.
Looked under his eyes, it looked like he hasn't slept in months.
Yeah, well, he probably hasn't, because apparently John Middleton's not happy, right? Hey, let's get the cut of Klentak talking about the philosophies of Charlie Manuel and that they're not much different. Matt Klentak. Here's Matt Klentak.
But I think Charlie's philosophies of working counts, to having patient at-bats, and doing damage, just swinging hard to hurt the baseball when you have a chance to do it, I think a lot of those philosophies are very consistent with what John Mailey has preached and what we've preached in the minor leagues.
Okay, then why make the change? If the philosophy's the same, is it just a different voice? Is it just because Charlie's Charlie and he was a World Series winning manager here in Philly? Is it because he's a nice guy and maybe the other, they just didn't listen to John Mailey? I don't know. But here's the deal. You can hold Gabe Kapler accountable for some things that I agree with you on. He's made some bad decisions, strategic decisions, misuse of his bullpen, pulled starters too early on occasion. He's made mistakes. There's no doubt about it. But how do you expect him, the fact that they're two games under 500 with what he's had to deal with, it's not like he's winning games for him. I don't want to overstate that. But here's the deal. You came into the season and four of your starting five pitchers were Arrieta, who's been dealing with bone spurs and is obviously on the back nine of his career.
Right.
He may be close to the clubhouse at this point. You had Eflin, Pivetta, Velasquez.
And if one of those guys didn't work, you had Jared Eichhoff ready to pitch.
You got Eichhoff. You bring in Robertson in the bullpen, but he's been injured essentially the entire year. You get McCutchen, a center fielder, a guy to set the table for you. He gets injured and is lost for the season. You have guys on this team like Franco, who we know's not good enough. You know it. You got guys on this team that are playing out of position, essentially. You don't have a bullpen, you don't have a starting rotation, and you want to just fire the manager? Charlie didn't look like a great manager until he had a good team, a good lineup, and good pitching.
Is this not a good lineup? It should be a good lineup.
Is it? Who's your leadoff hitter?
Well, that's a good question. You lost your leadoff hitter.
Exactly. And if you can't set the table, You can't have success.
Yeah, but you still have all those other, I mean, Bryce Harper. But again, this may go back just to John Mailey. Maybe it is just an organizational approach, and that's why Bryce Harper's hitting below 250. I don't blame Gabe Kapler for the approach at the plate. I don't. I think that's a Matt Klentak, John Mailey puppet kind of thing. I don't think that's Gabe Kapler's
fault.
That's
organizational philosophy.
But you have good enough players where you shouldn't be struggling as bad as you have been all since the month of June. I mean, it hasn't stopped. You haven't gone on a hot streak since May.
Here's what I know. Every coach in sports, if they don't have a good roster of players, doesn't matter what sport it is, whether it was Brett Brown with the Sixers through the process, and even beyond that, when he started to get some good players, you have to have, if you want to be really good, you got to have a roster that works together and that the pieces fit. And in baseball, you have to have starting pitching. If you don't have pitching, you ain't got crap. And then you have a bullpen. The bullpen is a mess, right? So when you don't have those tools at your disposal, you make some boneheaded decisions because you're trying to overcome the failure of your general manager in your decision making. Now, again, I'm not saying that Gabe doesn't deserve any blame because he does.
Yes.
But it's easy to say, well, fire the coach. You know what I mean? Because that's that old knuckle dragging Philadelphia mentality. I fire the coach. You know, that whole thing. The guy that's got more culpability, they all have it. But I'm not firing Gabe when the guy shopping for the groceries in Klentak has given him a bunch of garbage and asked him to make a 5-star meal.
Now, I've also said I think Gabe Kapler is getting too much of the blame. Like, I think he's being unfairly blamed for things. Yeah. It's not his fault that Hoskins and Harper have been struggling for pretty much all season long.
Yep.
It's not his fault, as you alluded to, that Matt Klentak neglected the starting pitching and also signed three 30-plus-year-old relievers who had been hurt for pretty much the entire season.
And relied on them.
And you paid them a lot of money, $25-plus million for this season alone. So that's not Gabe Kapler's fault. But when it comes to in-game decisions, I have seen him make many mistakes. Just going back to this last series against the Giants, when you had an open base and the hottest hitter on the Giants lineup is up to bat, instead of putting him on, you pitch to him and he hits a triple and it's his fourth RBI of the game. That's Gabe Kapler's fault.
Yeah,
right. And we've seen that time and time again. Mm-hmm. I go back to it. He's still learning on the job, which I don't like when you have a team that is built and ready to win, maybe not this year, but soon. Like, so my follow-up to you is, what does he do right? Like, what have you seen that you go, that's why he's this manager? That's why he's good?
And you're right. There's nothing I can look at him and go, he's great at this. Now, I don't know if the players in that clubhouse really do like him. I know the Bob Nightingale story, that puff piece, you know, that PR piece that, that he wrote about the Phillies. And I love Bob, but he got played. And we're talking about, oh, FaceTiming Gene Segura, and he's so amenable to everything. They may love him in that clubhouse. They may love him because he doesn't ever crack the whip on him.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes you have to question whether a player loves a manager or a coach and why they love him, because they don't want to be pushed or whatever. They're still getting paid, the whole thing. But when you look at the situation, look, until you're going to give him the right tools, I don't care who the manager is. Joe Girardi's managing this team. I don't care if it's, it doesn't matter. Lou Piniella, the greatest managers of all time. Tommy Lasorda, bring him in. It doesn't matter, because he's still going to trot out three crap pitchers in your starting rotation, and you have no bullpen, you have no center fielder. A manager's not going to win you games. He can't overcome that. He can't go on the mound and throw the ball. So while Gabe gets some blame, and he's not been perfect, to me, the bigger issue is Klentak. And look no further than where this organization has gone since he's taken over in 2015. And I liked Matt. I wanted to give him the benefit. I like him as a guy. He's a nice guy. I think he's a really smart guy. But here's the deal. He went into the season with Pivetta, Velasquez, Eflin, this crap.
Pivetta's and like, your number two.
Yeah, and then also coming into the season with that bullpen, as you just mentioned, the three guys they add, and they're veterans, and hurt, and depending on them. And then all of these things happen, but the biggest crime of it is that since he's taken over, how have they drafted and developed? What's in the cupboards now? At least you could say, well, they sucked, but we got all these great prospects that are on the way.
Yeah, Mickey Moniak's heating up.
Yeah, I get it. It's taken forever. And
he's 21.
And he better. You can't miss on those players. Is he going to miss on Moniak? Is he going to be great? I don't know. There's still a lot of developing to be done there. But these cupboards aren't stocked. You sucked. And you got to come out of that having prospects.
Well, here's the one area where I'm...
Their prospect pool's a joke.
Not that I'm okay with the prospects not being good, but you have your core set.
No, but you're missing the point of the prospect. The prospect isn't always to come up and play here. It's to come up and be a good prospect so you can trade for a Bumgarner. Or help your lineup at the deadline.
Well, they didn't want to trade some of their guys. Playing. Alec Bohm is untouchable because he's the third baseman.
And he's
future.
The only one they got.
Well, no, Spencer Howard is really highly sought after, and they don't want to give up on him because you don't have starting pitching.
Yeah, I know.
So guys like Medina and Spencer Howard, if they make that jump next year and they're in your rotation, all of a sudden you have two new arms. Who knows if they work in the major leagues?
If we're going into a season depending on that again, then we're fools.
Well, yeah, we have another issue because we're depending on rookies. But then again, you're looking all over the major leagues. There's a lot of young pitchers that are throwing well. Mm-hmm. I mean, look at the Braves. Half their rotation is just young guys that have come up in the last 2 years.
And they have great stuff. And you look at the Phillies and you look at teams all around baseball. These young guys come up, play the outfield, boom. They come in and they're just mashing, right? The Phillies? Where are these guys at?
Yeah, I don't get how a guy like Austin Riley can come up and hit a bunch of home runs for the Braves. And you can just look at their build. It's totally different. Like, Mickey Moniak's a twig.
Yeah.
Now, he's starting to drive the ball a little bit in the minor leagues, but Austin Riley comes right up and he hits 10 home runs in his first month and a half of his career.
Yeah. That's to me, and it's not just about those guys coming up to play for the Phillies. It's about those guys having equity in season or in an off season to acquire players that you need via trade. And that's why they're handicapped come the trade market, because they don't have much. First of all, they won't give up a guy like Bohm because they need him going forward. And they don't have, the cupboards aren't full so they can dip into that and help their roster. So Gabe, he has not been perfect. He's not been good. But he's also been given absolute garbage to deal with and to put on that field of play. And he ain't going to make chicken salad out of you-know-what.
Yeah, I mean, if you did the pie chart of blame,
mm-hmm.
the front office gets the majority of it.
No doubt about it. Like, and 70%.
Where would I go?
For the roster.
I'm trying to do math off the top of my head.
I would give the front office about 40% of the blame, the players about 40% of the blame, and I'll give Gabe about 10%, and I'll give Maley another 10.
I'd give Gabe more than 10.
I don't. Dude, how are you going to... Are you going to have success? I don't care who manages the team with that starting rotation and that bullpen. Well, is it possible?
How many times have you seen them get into a game
score 12
with
runs.
That terrible starting rotation where they have gotten to the the sixth or seventh inning with a lead. And then he's like, oh, you know what? Instead of throwing this guy, I'm going to throw Edgar Garcia for the 50th time this week.
Yeah. I know it's the easy thing to say is fire the manager. He's lost the team. I know that's like the easy thing to say. But really think about it for a second. I'm asking the audience to just think about it for a second. Could they win with this roster? I don't care. I don't give one-tenth of who's managing it. Can you win with this roster? And if the answer is no, which it is, by the way.
No, it's not.
Then you got to look somewhere else. You got to look at the GM.
I think you could do a little more with this roster.
You can maybe do a little bit more, but can you really win with it?
And, I know, Jason.
That being said, they're three games over 500.
Yep.
They're in the thick of this wild card thing. And you look at this roster, that's amazing.
But you said it right. If they heat up the last 43 games,
Charlie gets all the credit. Yep. 610-632-0975. That is the number to get in. 610-632-0975. Big T Wilt tweets in. He says, it is his fault. He's the damn manager. All of it is his fault, Andrew. He's not getting the most out of the talent on the team. That's his fault. Come on, man.
So he kind of agrees with me. Yeah, I'm not going 100% blame on Gabe.
Well, here's the thing, though. These guys are major league players, T. Dude, does the manager need to hold their hand? They became professional athletes because they're driven. If a manager needs to push them to get the most out of them as a professional athlete, now there's occasions when guys need to be pushed.
I could not relate to them.
So Bryce Harper is an elite talent. He needs Gabe Kapler to crawl up his keister to be great.
Well, maybe it's not Bryce Harper, but you've seen how many times have you seen Bryce guys Harper. Not hustle after Gabe has said, "Oh, I'm not going to take this anymore," and then they still not hustle. Yeah. We've seen it 100 times this year.
Well, that's also a culture in the clubhouse,
and that's Gabe.
And the players get
Gabe's the guy that runs the clubhouse.
Now Gabe's the manager. The players run a clubhouse.
Okay, well he's got
to bring
those guys
comes
in.
To teammates,
he has to bring them in one on one.
And again, that's roster construction. What did the Phillies do right back in 93 and through that era? They had Darren Dalton. You didn't screw around when Dutch was there. He held everybody accountable.
Well, that should be Bryce who steps up. He's the big man on campus.
Again, roster construction. You have to consider that tangible.
Are you blaming Klentak for not signing someone with heart?
No. For signing somebody that holds his teammates accountable, yeah, that's part of chemistry. That you have to. Why do you think the Sixers brought in Horford? It wasn't just because they wanted a 33-year-old four. It was to show Joel Embiid how to be a professional.
I get that.
Because the coach can say it all he wants, but the player laughs at the coach.
Well, that's why they kept Sean Rodriguez. Sent Franco down.
Yeah, 610-632-0975. Let's get on the phones here. Let's start with Xander in South Philly on the Fanatic. Hey, Xander.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Good morning.
All right.
So I got two quick things. So I'm going to the game tonight with my fiance, my future father-in-law. And my fiance asked me yesterday, she's like, is it a violation if I wear my Cole Hamels jersey? And I was like, I kind of was on the fence because I didn't know because he's still playing in the league and now playing against us. So is it okay if she would wear like a Phillies Hamels jersey?
Sure, but the one thing she can't do, she can't cheer if Cole Hamels gets three strikes out the side in the first.
No, listen, one of the number one reasons why I'm going to spend the rest of my life with her is because she is a diehard sports fan and a diehard Philly sports fan. Mm-hmm. So she would never do that. And also my Phillies point, I kind of look at Gabe Kapler as like, as I looked at Brett Brown over the years, like a coach can only do so much if, you know, for what you give him. Like if you give him like nothing, you know, and you expect him to roll the dice and just be like, oh, I'm going to do great with this. You can't really ask for that, but. You know, the more you give him and then you actually kind of see what he does with it, then you can judge. But until that, it's just like everybody wanted to fight Brett Brown. Like, he didn't have anything to even go to the playoffs. So, like, what did you expect him to win with?
Yeah. When you give a guy a flawed roster, a flawed lineup, a flawed starting rotation, and a flawed bullpen, and you expect him to overcome all that in a sport like baseball with 162 games,
exactly.
Your thinking is what? It's flawed.
That's true, too. Exactly. So it all trickles down from the top of the pyramid.
Mm-hmm.
So, and also, I don't know if it's possible, but like I don't know if there's any fan fest tickets left. So me and my fiance would love to go.
And the fiance come, she can wear the Hamels jersey to fan fest.
That kind of puts a bad taste in my mouth, the Hamels thing.
You think he should be pitching here tonight?
No, they're wearing the Hamels jersey or the jersey.
Why?
He's on the other team.
Yeah, I know. You can still wear it as long as it's the Phillies one. I think you can wear it tonight, but you can't cheer for it.
It's like the same thing. And when Utley was in town, you wore your Utley jersey.
Yeah, that's fine to wear it, but you can't cheer Utley when he gets a bases clear.
I guess it's a sign of respect.
Yeah, you cheer him when he's introduced in the game, but if he does anything positive in the game for the opposition, you don't cheer.
I said this yesterday. If they lost last night's game, and let's say John Mailey was still the hitting coach, I bet there were Phillies fans that would have cheered for Hamels to beat the Phillies tonight.
Yeah, probably.
But because things changed, all of a sudden the Phillies are back on everybody's good graces right now. Now it's going to be rooting for the Phillies, and here comes the playoff push.
They're not back at everybody's good graces. Some people believe this was just a PR move.
See, I don't get that.
Yeah, I don't get it either.
I get that it was a move of desperation. Somebody, I think it was Karate Mark, asked me on Twitter yesterday, like, in all honesty, what was this move about? And I thought it was a move of desperation because the guy that you had wasn't doing well, and you were fortunate enough to have a guy already on your payroll. And because Charlie Manuel, he's a special assistant advisor or whatever, he's already on your payroll. So it's not like you had to go out and get somebody else. You just slide him right back in, say, hey, Charlie, you're going to be our hitting coach the rest of the year. So I think it was a move of desperation, but I think it was, I don't think it was a PR move.
No, I don't think it was a PR move. I think it was a desperation move, and it was all orchestrated by the owner and a demand from John Middleton.
One of the things Klentak said yesterday that I do agree with, hey, listen, we're just two games out. Yeah. So something had to happen.
All right, let me read you a couple of tweets. Angry Al tweets and says, yes, a different manager could win with this roster. He stinks. All right, Al, is that manager also going to pitch on days 3, 4, and 5? Is that going to happen? Is he going to come in as the closer or a reliever? Is he also going to play center field and lead off? How is that his fault that he's got this Dreck as a starting rotation? I don't get it. Footlong Foles. Do you think any of these players would run through a wall for Gabe? No. For Charlie, yes. Baseball players aren't running through a wall for anybody.
You're reading a tweet from Footlong Foles. Exactly. What do you think you got?
No, but seriously. Dude, do you think that players in that sport are going to run through the wall for anybody? It's not how they play it. It's 162 games. It's like, okay, we lost. It's not the end of the world. It's still June. You know what I mean?
Well, it doesn't help that Gabe's saying, well, even though we lost 10-0, you still presented beautifully out there.
Well, I mean, look, the players are smart, though. They know that that's just him trying to deflect the blame onto himself. It's like when Andy Reid was here all these years. He asked Brian Westbrook, he said, Brian, when he sat there and said, I got to do a better job. Did you appreciate that as a player? What's he going to say? Absolutely. I didn't want him going there going, boy, Westbrook really sucked today.
Yeah, well, Gabe never says, I got to do a better job. No. Gabe tries to explain why his decision would have been right. It just didn't work out for him.
Yeah, because he's an analytical thinker. And he's into that. Look, and I'm not a big analytics
guy. Sometimes analytics is wrong.
Yeah, and it is. And sometimes you use analytics wrong, which he's done as well, like the Pilar situation that you brought up a couple minutes ago. 610-632-0975. That is the number to get in. It is the Midday Show. Andrew Salchunas, Jason Martinez. We're right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. I got to tell you, the wait is over. Oh, this is a brutal wait. FanDuel Sportsbook, yeah, they're live in Pennsylvania now as well. And as the summer brings the heat, you can on your bets on your favorite teams. How about this? You can bet money line spreads, parlays, props, and more on every game from anywhere in Pennsylvania. So don't sweat the summer heat. What you can do is be a betting pro online or through the app, all while staying in the cool AC. FanDuel Sportsbook, they're offering you a risk-free bet worth up to $500 when you sign up with promo code Jason. So if you lose your first bet, FanDuel will give you a refund in site credit. So if you're thinking of using that risk-free bet now, well, maybe take a look at the boys in pinstripes, the resurgence of the boys in pinstripes with Charlie back. Or they need to win badly. Don't forget, you can bet on those games, maybe the NFL preseason, and take a chance. Because if you lose, you'll get a refund in site credit. So download the FanDuel Sportsbook app now or visit FanDuel.com/sportsbook to claim your risk-free bet up to $500 with promo code Jason, J-A-S-O-N. Risk-free bet applies to first wager only. Refund issued is non-withdrawable site credit. 21 plus and present in Pennsylvania or New Jersey. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Gargano and Martinez Middays.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
Midday Show, 97.5 The Fanatic, 11:30. 11:30 is it? D. Gunn will join us?
Yes, sir. 11:30.
And he is down in Jacksonville in advance of tomorrow night's preseason game number 2.
Yeah, I texted him as soon as I saw that photo of him and Foles together.
It doesn't look like Foles is going to play tomorrow, huh?
Probably not.
Yeah, that's a bummer. Is Wentz going to play tomorrow?
No, I doubt it.
Yeah, no.
And I'm starting to lean toward he's probably not going to play at all this preseason.
At all?
I don't think so.
Wow.
Because here, I want
Carson
to play.
Setting a new standard of no play.
You and I talked about this last week, I think it was. Or when you guys flew down to Florida.
Yep.
Anthony left a little bit earlier, so you and I finished the show together, and we talked about it. We both wanted Carson to get some game time.
Yep.
But I said the only reason why I would allow it is if you have at least 3/5 of your starting line out there, and Vitae is one of the backups, so you're comfortable with Vitae because you know that he's been with that line for a while. But it looks like Jason Peters isn't going to play. It looks like Lane Johnson's not going to play. Who knows if Brandon Brooks isn't going to play. Who knows if Jason Kelce plays at all. And if 4/5 of your starting line is out, I'm not risking it during the preseason.
We're seeing this go more and more in this direction of just not playing, you know, limiting the amount of quarterback is out there, your starter, just to protect them that boy, I know that they charge full price for preseason games, but you can't look at it that way. That's just how they allocate it per game. If you have season tickets, you're paying for 10 games and just divide it by 8.
Right.
Because these two games are dreadful. No doubt about it. Did you watch episode 2 last night of Hard Knocks?
No, I still don't have HBO.
Oh, that's right. You didn't go out and purchase it this week.
I watched some clips, though, on social media that people put up. And John Gruden looks great.
Yeah. Boy. He throws the F-bomb around a lot.
He could end up being the worst coach again, but he's been very entertaining through HBO so far.
I thought the first episode was lame. I didn't like it. It just didn't deliver for me, but I thought last night's was very good.
Like the Antonio Brown's feet?
Yeah, the whole feet situation. He was showing them, and it was nasty.
How about the helmet thing?
Yeah, this guy.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I know he lost the appeal. Is it with an arbitrator now, or is that... I think he lost
the
appeal.
Somebody found some sort of loophole that maybe he can still wear the old helmet.
See, he's bananas, this guy. I mean, you bring him in, and look, in the episode last night, Gruden's lamenting the fact that he's not there. Like, to the media, he's like, no, we don't know anything. When I do, I'll let you know, blah, blah, blah. But behind the scenes, he's going, has anybody heard from this guy? Like, what's going on? Like, we need to get him here. I mean, he's a huge component to what they want to do offensively.
Yeah, he's their best player on offense.
Yeah. It's crazy. But I thought the episode last night was good. 610-632-0975. Let's go to Donald in Chester. Joins us on the Fanatic. What's up, Donald?
Good morning. How you guys doing?
Good, man.
You know, I wanted to talk about the Phillies here. The thing is, I never believed that everything was Kapler's fault. Neither. It's just that the only thing that doesn't help is that the offense has been struggling for a while, and the pitcher, he doesn't paint well to me, is that it seems like there was no accountability amongst the players, you know, at the lack of performance. So for me, I start to wonder what type of meetings was he holding with the hitting coach, because I believe that Klintak is very much guilty. Is that you know you had a problem, and why it seems that you didn't address it and Middleton had to step in and do it, which makes it look pretty bad. So,
yeah, I agree with you, Donald, because, you know, McPhail was on the record. Oh, if we do, we do. If we don't, we don't. You know, no big deal.
You can't say that.
No, that's a slap in the fans' face.
When somebody spends $500 million on the lineup.
Yeah.
Because, and also, too, a lot of times we seem to forget when it comes to baseball is that we have to score runs in order for our bullpen to protect the lead. So, you know, Middleton was on the right track with trying to produce a strong, paying for a strong lineup. Now, of course, they didn't address the pitching as well, you know, to balance it out. But bringing in Charlie is really a smart move because he knows a lot about hitting.
Yeah, the only concern about it, Donald, and to me, it's still worth doing, is that the message from Maley to Charlie is so different. Can it reap results? Well, what we know, though, is the known is that under Maley, it wasn't working. So it's easy to cut bait and try something different.
Well,
I think we have to temper our expectation that Charlie's got a magic elixir that's going to fix all this.
Well, I'll say this. say this and I'd be out. The difference, the one thing about Charlie is Charlie had made a statement in 06 before we came back up to our World Series forum, is that he said that those guys have been playing for years and there are certain things that are common sense that they know. You know, and he's right, because the difference between what's going to be Charlie's philosophy and the other guy is common sense. You know, you're talking about working the count. Well, common sense is you don't take balls coming down the middle. You don't even take hanging curves and sliders. That's one thing that Charlie's not going to preach, because that's what made the 2008 and 2009 lineup, is that actually by the time Charlie got finished with them, they became manipulators at the plate, you know, because they just knew how to go with pitches.
Yeah, and they knew how to find a pitch to drive.
I was meaning to get this, and my apologies for forgetting, but John Kruk yesterday, obviously everybody knew the John Mailey news, so during the broadcast last night, they were talking about it throughout the game, and JT Realmuto, in his first at-bat, took a 2-0 fastball right over the middle of the plate.
Mm-hmm.
And Kruk said, I guarantee you, Charlie would not be happy with Realmuto taking that 2-0 fastball right over the middle of the plate. And that's something that they will talk about.
Yeah.
But John Mailey says, I'll keep working the count.
Yeah. Yeah, get more pitches. But Charlie's going, that's the pitch that you're looking for.
And you know what? It kind of worked yesterday, because they took a lot of pitches, and the starting pitcher that was dominating you, Quintana for the Cubs, he could only go 6 innings because he was over 100 pitches. But he struck out 14 batters.
Yeah.
Because you're working the count, and you working the count gets you to 2 strikes. And what happens when you have 2 strikes? A lot of times you strike out.
Yeah, and you get very defensive at the plate. But with launch angles, that's why you strike out even more.
And the thing that he was doing well yesterday, and again, Kruk brought it up, is he was throwing everything up in the zone. Mm-hmm. What is a launch angle? You're swinging down in the zone.
Yeah.
So if the fastball's up in the zone, you're not going to hit it with the trajectory of your bat going up through the zone like that.
Dead man walking. Ryan Field tweets and he goes, I didn't expect Jason Merck to...
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.